Happy Mother's Day. Well, let's try it again. Happy Mother's Day. You're supposed to say Happy Mother's Day back. It's so good to see you today. Yes, children, you may go. Let my people go. Very glad to see you today. Isn't it beautiful? Outside, God has just blessed us this year in Savannah, Georgia with, looks like we're going to have four seasons instead of two. And it's just so wonderful. And thank the Lord for the rain that we've had, all of His blessings. You know, the city's just been on fire with blooms, the flowers. And all, it's just gorgeous. And I thank the Lord. I ran across a couple of things I thought you might be interested in. These were some answers that children gave, these school-aged children gave about mothers. And I thought you'd be interested in these today. In answer to the question, why did God make mothers? Here's some of the answers. She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. One kid said, think about it. It's the best way to get more people. That kid's been paying attention. Why did God make mothers? Mostly to clean the house. We need to take him outside. crack myself up. Why did God make mothers? To help us out of there when we were getting born. Okay. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? One answer, we're related. Here's another. God knew that she likes me a lot more than other moms like me. Okay. One more. What did mom need to know about your dad before she married him? Oh boy, this is good. His last name. She had to know his background, like, is he a crook? Does he get drunk on beer? Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Happy Mother's Day, and I hope in some of those it hit right where you are. I want to read a story to you. It's out of a paraphrase. If you have your Bible, you can follow along with me in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to read the story of a great mom in the Scripture. And it's from paraphrase. It's not exact translation. It's paraphrase. But listen to the story. There once was a man who lived in Ramathaim. He was descended from the old Zuf family in the Ephraim hills. His name was Elkanah. He was connected with the Zufs from Ephraim through his father Jeroham, his grandfather Elihu, and his great-grandfather Tohu. He had two wives. The first was Hannah. The second was Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah had none. Every year this man went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and to offer a sacrifice to the God of the angel armies. Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the priest of God there. When Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife Peninnah and all her children. But he always gave an especially generous helping to Hannah because he loved her so much. And because God had not given her children, but her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time she went up to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. Her husband Elkanah said, "Oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? Why are you so upset? Am I not more worth to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah ate. She pulled herself together. She slipped away quietly and entered the sanctuary. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple at the customary seat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God, and she cried out again and again, uncontrollably. Then she made a vow, and here was her prayer to God. "O God of the angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely and unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline." Amen. It so happened that she continued in prayer before God. Eli, the priest, was watching her. Hannah was praying in her heart silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was coming out. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman." Hannah said, "Oh, no, sir, please. I'm a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking. Not a drop of beer or wine. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't for a minute think that I'm a bad, evil woman. It's because I so desperately want happiness. And I've been in pain for such a long time." You feeling the story? Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you what you've asked of him. Think well of me and pray for me," she said. And she went on her way. Then she ate heartily. Her face was radiant. Up before dawn, they worshiped God and they returned home to Ramah. Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given a birth to a son. She named him Samuel, that's right, explaining, "Because I asked God for him." When Elkanah next took his family on the annual trip to Shiloh to worship God, offering sacrifice and keeping his vow, Hannah didn't go. She told her husband, "After the child is weaned, I'll bring him myself and present him before God," keeping her deal, "and that's where he'll stay for good." Elkanah said to his wife, "Do what you think is best. Stay home until you've weaned him. Yes, let God complete what God has begun." So she did. She stayed home. She nursed him until she weaned him. Then she took him up to Shiloh, bringing also the makings of a generous sacrificial meal, a prize bull, flour, and wine. The child was so young to be sent off. They first butchered the bull, then brought the child to Eli, and Hannah said, "Excuse me, sir, would you believe that I'm the woman who was standing before you at this very spot praying to God? I prayed for this child, and God gave me exactly what I asked for. And now I've dedicated him to the Lord. He is dedicated to God for life." And then and there, they worshiped God. Hannah prayed again at that time. And here's what she prayed. Listen to this prayer. I love this paraphrase of it. It's beautiful. she said, I'm bursting with the God news. I'm walking on air. I'm laughing at my rivals. I'm dancing my salvation. Nothing and no one is holy like God. No rock mountain like our God. Don't dare talk pretentiously. Not a word of boasting ever, for God knows what's going on. He takes the measure of everything that happens. The weapons of the strong are smashed to pieces, while the weak are infused with fresh strength. The well-fed are out begging in the streets for crust, while the hungry are getting second helpings. The barren woman has a house full of children, while the mother of many is bereft. God brings death, and God brings life. God brings down to the grave, and He raises up. God brings poverty, and God brings wealth. He lowers, and He also lifts up. He puts poor people on their feet again. He rekindles burned out lives with fresh hope. He restores dignity and respect to their lives, a place in the sun. Boy, is that a message we need to hear today. For the very structures of earth are God's. He has laid out His operations on a firm foundation. He protectively cares for His faithful friends step by step, but leaves the wicked to stumble in the dark. No one makes it in this life by sheer muscle. God's enemies will be blasted out of the sky, crashed in a heap and burned. God will set things right all over the earth. He'll give strength to His king. He'll set His anointed on top of the world. And then Elkanah went home to Ramah. The boy stayed and served God in the company of Eli the priest. And if you want to read about his life, read the rest of 1 Samuel and see there what a great man of God he was. Now today, keying in on that verse 13 of chapter 1, Hannah was praying in her heart. A mom's survival kit. Listen to a few things, a few reflections on this great story. Here are the things every mom needs to know that we see in the story from Hannah's life. The first, being a mom is a very human experience. There are no perfect moms. Even the mother of our Lord Jesus, Mary, was not perfect, was she? Emotions can get on edge and get very raw at times with mom. Think of all the emotions that Hannah went through in her life. She'd been made fun of for being barren all those years. Think of the disappointment from childlessness. I know there's some of you here today who have felt some of these same emotions, haven't you? You've been there. You've got the t-shirt. The jealousy, the frustration, joy, sadness, intrigue, competition, insecurity. So when Samuel is given to her by God, what a gift he is. He comes into a world that is awash for him with love, the love of his mother. But the challenge of this situation is huge. A second thing, children bring heartaches. Can I get a witness on that? Peter, you don't know what I'm talking about. Just the fact that a child comes into this world, that can bring a lot of heartaches. We want to protect them, don't we? We want to shield them from everything. We want to put them in a cocoon somewhere as if we could shield them from all of this. Of course, in the process, What we've been called to do as parents, moms and dads, is to raise these children, to prepare for them to be in this world, to be filled with the Spirit of God and be filled with the power of God. Even people who do not have children have the heartache of children. Some of them greatly desire children. Even in that is the heartache. We see that Hannah eventually gives Samuel over to the Lord. What a big step. Imagine what her trip back must have been as she goes to Shiloh and then she's going back home, leaving that little boy there with Eli. Put yourself there for a moment. The third thing we see, things that every mom needs to know if she's going to survive, is that there's a battle going on for your home. Do you believe that? All sorts of forces arrayed against you. It's everywhere around us. The devil, the world, the flesh want to destroy children. Your children. Your husband, your way of life, and anything that stands in the way. To put it down. You're in a battle with that yourself, aren't you? Because you're personally battling with that. Look in the story. See some of the battle. Here's the other wife, Peninnah. Here she is making fun of Hannah. You know, when... In the very act of doing that, not realizing in herself what a gift her children are to her. By the very reason that she had those children because there was anything special about her. They were a gift from God. It's a battle. Do you have a battle with strife in your home? Is that a battle every day? Hannah had a battle every day to keep her sanity. Imagine what those last days must have been like before they took the trip down to Shiloh to drop off young Samuel. A fourth thing every mom needs to know is there's a heritage that's being passed on to your children. You're teaching them how to do something. Is it good or evil? Right or wrong, something's being passed on to your children. What will it be? Their future is colored directly by you. Now think of what Hannah was passing on to Samuel. A rich heritage of trusting absolutely in God. Later on, when we'd hear Samuel say those words, you remember those words he would say to Eli in the night? Here am I. Here am I. You see, there was a heritage of prayer that was being passed on. Samuel was born literally out of the prayers of his mother. Fifth thing, things every mom needs to know in order to survive. There is hope in the gift of motherhood. A mom can't see down the road, but she can have hope based on God who does see down the road and who is there. How many times, moms, have you prayed this prayer? I can't be there right now with my child, but God, please watch over that child for me, just like I would be there. Now, what kind of job does God do? Is he pretty good at it? You see, Hannah kept hoping again and again. God brought her a child. You see, she realized she wasn't working in a zero-sum game. That God could move in in a wonderful way and do something miraculous in her life. Do you continue to believe that, moms, about your children? That God can come in? Do you wonder sometimes, you moms here, and when your child, as they get a little bit older, and they say, well, you taught me that, and you think, when did I teach them that? And you know that God was doing something that was bigger than you. Number six, help is on the way. God does not want you to be helpless. He is our great helper, our healer. God designed all of this not to hurt you, but to help you. He designed the family in that way so the child could come up in that environment. All we need to do is receive what He is doing and turn to Him and let Him do these marvelous things in our life and speak to us. You see, one of the things that Hannah showed to Samuel very early on that was very important to hear God's voice, to listen to Him. I can think of nothing more important. Now, how can you survive today? Man, there's never been a more complicated time in which to live. There's never been more turmoil on the face of the earth. There have never been more things that surround us. You just think about it for a moment. All the things that are going on. So, how can a mom survive in times like this? Well, first of all, she needs to give her life to the one that is God who made all mothers. He's creator. He's sustainer. He's the one who will be with you. That first step will be honored by God. Just like it was honored by God for Hannah, God will honor it for you. And you're saying, I screwed up in the past. You don't think Hannah had any screw-ups? That's right. But make that first step, giving your life to Him. Because you have an influence. I thank God that in my life, you know, the very first person who shared the gospel with me was my mother, who showed me Jesus, who told me the stories of the Bible, who read the scripture to me and made sure even before I wanted a real Bible, but she gave me this Bible story, but when I could read the stories myself. Before that, I was looking at pictures. And not just my mom, but my grandmother's. There they were with the Word of God. Secondly, you need to give your children to God. Because it's like everything else. We have to handle them like this, don't we? Loosely. Because where did the children come from? They're a gift from God to us, and we give them back to Him. We're trusting Him. Third, we need to give God to our children. And make sure that they see God in our lives. Show them the way. Model it. Let them see it worked out. Let them see you. Let them see you struggling with God at times. Being honest with Him. Honest in prayer and honest in your life. Not creating this idyllic picture that it's all perfect. Because you know what? It's not. Life is messy. And it's into the mess that God does His greatest work, isn't it? Number four, when in doubt, love. Be like Jesus. He always led with His love. Love's the key. And it's His motivation for us. Next, when not in doubt, love then too. Did you get it? Make it intentional. Never let your children ever even entertain the idea that they're not loved. They just can't even entertain that idea. They need to be bathed in love. And sometimes love is stiff, isn't it? Sometimes love means you've got to discipline, right? That you've got to create parameters if you really love them. And finally, pray. Pray your way through. Life is too fragile not to be handled with prayer. Ask God. Ask Him to come. The greatest thing you can do for your kids is to pray for them. As you take them before the throne of grace and say, God, I need your help. They need your help. And what happens as they grow up, you know, they what's the old saying? They walk on your toes when they're small, and as they grow up, what do they walk on? Your heart. Because when they are getting on up this, then you want them to be little again so you can control their actions. Right? Go ahead and agree with me. I know that's what you think. You'd like to do that. But be careful as you pray, because the process might just change you. We're about to open the altar. If you'd like to come and pray, maybe you'd like to get someone in. Maybe you'd like to get your mom and come and pray here today. Our pastors will be here. We'll ask some of our life group leaders to be around to pray with you. But this is your time to come. Let me say, if you've never chosen Jesus, the greatest gift that can be given or received is the gift of having Him in your life. Personally, He'll change your life. He changed my mother's life. He changed my life. He changed my dad's life. He's changed my wife's life, my children. He'll change yours because He loves you. Let's pray. We'll open the altar. Lord, as we come to You today, I thank You that You're speaking to us. Lord, no doubt today, a lot of emotion has been stirred deep within us by just this subject of Mother's Day. I thank You and I bless You. I want us to be praying for Michelle Hartzell. You may have seen in the newspaper, as of June the 30th, her job has come to a conclusion with the school board. I mean, she's losing her job. And we have others who have lost their jobs. And Michelle, we prayed for her today. And I just want to pray for all of us at this time. And do you have someone in your family or is your job on the line? Would you put your hand up? Okay. Well, let's pray over that right now. Lord, You have all power. All power is Yours. All authority is Yours. You took Abraham up on the Mount of Provision, and he called Your name out up there, Yahweh, Yireh, the God who provides. I am asking You that You will provide for all of these who put their hands up, and for our sister Michelle. God, I'm asking You to, You'll open the door of opportunity for jobs, for provision, for families. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, today's Mother's Day. We've got two young men back here who have flowers, who are about to walk down the aisle. Kenny, can you think of any music?
Good old dog. I like Kenny.
It's been 4 or 5 years since I played that trick, and I just waited for these two disciples to come along. Let's give them a hand and thank God. I love you. And I loved you enough to take advantage of you like that. Okay. It's our custom here on Mother's Day to bless our mothers and all of the adult women of our church. And the reason why we say that is because you may not have physical children yourself, but I guarantee you, you've participated in mothering many in your life. So, ladies, would all of you stand, please? We want to give you a carnation. And yes, let's give them a big hand. Now, we teach and practice prayer and the laying on of hands. And so why don't those of you who are near these ladies that are standing right now, let's lay hands on them and pray for them right now. Would you join me in this prayer? All right. Has everybody got somebody? What you have to do, do quickly. All right, let's pray. Lord, for these women on whom we have laid hands, we ask your blessing and your power. We ask your encouragement, your provision. We ask, God, that you'll encourage them on the days when they're so discouraged, they don't know hardly which way to go. But I'm asking you, God, that you'll come and you'll fill them with your power and your presence. I'm asking, Lord, that you would show your love to them. I'm praying, God, that you'll raise up people around them. They'll be encouragers. They'll stand by. Lord, we say to you out loud and to the world, we love these women, and we bless you for them. Thank you that you created them in your own image and gave them as gifts to us. Blessings on your name for them today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. As you go, before you go today, one other prayer I want you to have. There will be a basket out front. We have, and got Dana, if you'll get one of those baskets for me. We have a connection down in Haiti. Got several needs down there with Pastor Pierre. If you'd like to help out in some of that financially, there'll be a basket out there. And Peter wants us to pray for him today as he's preparing to move to Atlanta. He's gotten a place up there. He's on a waiting list. And so join me in praying for Peter today. But he's working on it. He's on the waiting list. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for Peter today. Lord, as he's making preparation, I ask you to go before him. And Lord, you'd do all the things necessary. And Lord, that you would reveal your will and purpose to him in everything. That he'd walk with you in your power and your strength, because you're the one who brought him to this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.